Okay, so we're in batch number 6 now of local news and features. Got 4 more stories for you. My headlines coming up: a Burslem's Lemmy statue will boost tourism in Stoke-on-Trent, and North Staffordshire Leisure Centre undergoes £165,000 of improvements. And Uta's got coming up for you.
I have the tribute a DJ pays to a wonderful mum, and I have families who want speed limits cut on Staffordshire roads.
Okay, well, I'll do the first story, which is Burslem's Lemmy statue will boost tourism in Stoke-on-Trent. A statue of rock legend Lemmy will be unveiled in the hometown of Burslem, in his hometown of Burslem, in May of this year, and council leaders believe it could help to boost tourism in Stoke-on-Trent. The 2.25-metre bronze sculpture of the late Motorhead frontman will be erected in the Motherstown Marketplace as part of a series of events marking the 50th anniversary this year. A portion of Lemmy's ashes will be placed within the plinth by Motorhead guitarist Phil Campbell when the statue is unveiled on May the 8th, International Motorhead Day. Cabinet members at Stoke-on-Trent City Council authorised the erection of the statue when they met on Tuesday last week. Planning permission was granted last year. The statue, by renowned Staffordshire artist Andy Edwards, was funded by Singham & Entertainment, Motorhead's Los Angeles-based management company, but it will be placed on council-owned highway land, meaning specific authorisation was needed for the statue under a Victorian-era law. The Cabinet report points out that the statue has been produced at no cost to the taxpayer, but will undoubtedly help to contribute to the tourism industry in Stoke-on-Trent due to Lemmy and Motorhead's worldwide fame. A council spokesperson said Stoke-on-Trent has produced many famous faces over the years, and what better way to honour one of our own by installing a statue in the town where they were born, and in our centenary year as well. We're looking forward to welcoming visitors from all over the world for the unveiling. Lemmy's real name, Ian Fraser Kilmister, was born in Burslem in 1945 and later lived in Newcastle-under-Lyme and Madeley. In 1971, he joined Hawkwind as a bassist and vocalist and formed Motorhead 4 years later. Lemmy died in 2015. The statue will depict Lemmy at the height of his fame in the 1980s in an iconic pose, singing up towards a towering microphone. Mr. Edwards is best known for the world-famous statue of the Beatles on Liverpool's waterfront and has also produced a number of artworks in his native North Staffordshire, including the statue of Gordon Banks at the Bet365 Stadium. He said, "This new statue of Lem is special, not just because I share the same birthplace as him or because of how much he personally means to me, but because it's so important to have a permanent international landmark celebrating him where he was born. Lemmy gave me joy, confidence in myself and energy, and he's also an avatar of the original spirit and power of rock and roll. I really hope it will become a meeting place for people from all over the world to take the journey to. Upon completion, the statue will be owned by IFK Legacy and CIC, which will carry out and pay for its ongoing maintenance and gifted it to the city. If IFK ceases to exist, the council will assume responsibility for maintenance, but the cabinet report says the cost will be minimal." So over to Uta, who's going to do her first story for us in batch 6.
And it's about a fundraiser. It's going to be held about a wonderful mum in her memory. Talented DJ Mark Dabba Davies is staging a fundraising event for charities which looked after his mum in her final days. The 53-year-old will be one of several DJs playing vinyl at the Classic Memories, or Classic Memories, from the Hacienda and Shelley's charity event at the Jug in Newcastle on Saturday, March the 8th. Mark of Woolstanton has already raised £10,775 from his first 3 charity events for charities close to his heart, £9,600 for the Alzheimer's Society and £1,175 for the Huntington's Disease Association. Now he hopes music lovers will attend his 4th charity event to raise thousands of pounds for Marie Curie and the Dougie Mac for all they did for his mum, Muriel Mary Davies, before she passed away on January 2nd. Mark said, "I was so lucky to have a wonderful, loving, caring parent as my mum was. She always put me, her only son, before everything in her own life and often went without things herself so that I could have them. Growing up in the 1970s was tough. My dad was on a three-day week for a while when he worked at Michelin. Mum, being mum, took on a paper round delivering the North Staff news for a few weeks until my dad said enough was enough, as my mum had hurt herself on one of such paper rounds. We didn't have much, but we were always happy. We as a family were happy. Excuse me. We as a family were happy with not much. We had each other and lots of love. A roof over our heads, running hot water and food. What more do you really need in life? When I reached my teenage years, my mom got a part-time job working in ladies' fashions locally, which she had done for many years prior to me being born. She thrived on it and ended up becoming the buyer for this retail outlet, which specialized in high-end fashion for ladies of a certain age. My parents supported me through college, which then enabled me to work in accountancy for many years. When I sadly became seriously unwell with a long-term health condition in 2009, my mom was frankly at her wit's end. My dad had suddenly passed away only 9 months prior to this, but it made me realize I needed to step up to the plate big time and reassure and look after my mom, which I did every single day. During my mom's last few years, she fought several long-term health issues herself, but was always positive about things and fought them head-on. She was as strong as an ox, like many of her generation. After more than 120 days in the Royal Stoke University Hospital last year, I was told, sadly, there was nothing more that could be done for my mom. As per her wishes, and with the fabulous support of Marie Curie and Dougie Mack, I managed to get my mom back home for her final days. We finally lost my mom on January the 2nd. She passed away peacefully at her home, aged 90, with me at her side. Saturday, March the 8th, is for you, mum. I will always love you with all my heart and miss you every single day. Mark, or Dabba as he is known to many, started his DJing career with his first gig at the Crafty Cockney in Smallthorne in 1988, alongside Oz from Oz Sound and Lighting in Stoke, playing an electric mix of eclectic mix, well, probably electric as well, but it was playing an eclectic mix of house and indie tunes. He performed at several venues over the next couple of years, including Evergreens, Cobridge, and Regime's nightclub in Hanley, before landing his first weekly residency in the house room of or at Entropy in Longton, every Friday night from its inception in April 1991. Mark was resident in the house room of or at Kinetic for several years, and he was one of the resident DJs for Pete Bromley and Calvin Andrews at Room 101 in Newcastle. He returned to Evergreens in 1997 as resident on both Fridays and Sundays for around 4 years before stepping away from DJing, as following the England football team both home and away had become a major passion of his. Mark said, being able to play some Hacienda and Shelley's classic records on vinyl, all for charity to an intimate crowd, is something that I'm really looking forward to. He will be supported at the Strictly Vinyl event by Tony Mills and Duff Price, who will again DJ for free, and Andre Titley and Andrew Foddy, who will DJ at one of Mark's charity events for the first time. The event runs from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So the event runs from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. with last entry at 11:15 p.m. Tickets are available by making a donation of £5 via Skiddle. The link is tickets, classic memories from the Hacienda and Shelley's, the Jog Newcastle under Lyme, Saturday, 8th of March, 2025. Skiddle.com. Thank you.
Excellent. That was interesting. So my story for you now in batch number 6 is a North Staffordshire Leisure Centre undergoes £165,000 improvements. The first phase of improvements works to a North Staffordshire Leisure Centre is now complete. Work has been carried out to improve energy efficiency and drive down carbon emissions at My Active Biddulph. Staffordshire Moors District Council secured a grant of £165,859 from Sports England England Swimming Pool Support Fund to upgrade the centre's air handling unit and install variable speed fans. Work is now underway to overhaul the building's heating system after the local authority made a successful application to the public sector decarbonisation scheme. Councillor Nigel Yates, Cabinet Member for Climate Change and Environment, said the upgrades we've installed with the Sport England funding in Biddulph will improve the energy efficiency of the building as part of a programme of investment in modernising our leisure centres so they're fit for the future. Together with the work that's currently ongoing to the heating system, this will have a big impact in driving down carbon emissions and contributing to the Council's net zero carbon target. Lisa Dodd-Main, Executive Director of Place at Sport England, added, "Swimming pools and leisure centres are vital community resources and are enormously important in helping people to be physically active. Sport England is proud of the role that we play in supporting these facilities. The investment from the Government Swimming Pool Support Fund at My Active Biddulph will help improve energy efficiency and enable the centre to be more environmental and financially sustainable so it remains available for future generations to enjoy." So we'll continue now and hand over to Uta for her final story for us in batch number 6.
So my throat is clear now. it will be better now. Families want speed limit cut on Staffordshire Road where drivers hit 140 miles per hour. Hundreds of residents are calling for a 40-mile-per-hour buffer zone at the entrance to a North Staffordshire village in a bid to stop vehicles thundering past homes at up to 140 miles per hour. Speeding traffic has been a concern for many years along the B5066 Hilderstone Road near Mere Heath, and the force produced by larger vehicles can push walkers and cyclists sideways, residents have said. The speed limit south of the village is 60 miles per hour, but residents have reported seeing vehicles for far exceeding this, with some even going well over 100 miles per hour. They said the situation is exacerbated by the straightness of the road heading towards Hilderstone, but there are junctions along the way which pose dangers for traffic turning into and onto the road. A campaign has now been launched to introduce a 40-mile-per-hour zone along a stretch of just over a kilometre before the village's 30-miles-per-hour zone. Residents, including Pennymaking, hope this will reduce speeds as vehicles pass by areas of concern, including a crossroads, sports grounds and care homes. There's also a riding stables and school in the village. Residents fear for the safety of horses and riders, as well as parents and children at the start and end of the school day. Mrs. Meakin plans to raise the issue with Staffordshire Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner Ben Adams at a forthcoming meeting of the Police, Fire and Crime Panel. And the petition is set to be presented to Staffordshire County Council too. She said the speed goes from 60 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour and the road is used by vulnerable school children, elderly residents, walkers, joggers and equestrian riders. Something has got to be done. We've got over 500 signatures on the petition and I've started a Facebook page, Hilderstone Road Speed Campaign. The campaign has been backed by Stafford Borough Councillor Alec Sandiford, who has previously called for road repairs at the nearby Windmill Hill roundabout area. He said there are already similar 40 miles per hour buffer zones at the entrance to other towns and villages in the borough to remind drivers to consider their speed. He said it's a really important campaign and it makes sense. It's been done elsewhere, so why can't it be done here to try to reduce speeds? If it can be done in places like Eccleshall, it should be done here. I will be pursuing it with the police, fire and crime commissioner and the county council. So County Councillor Ian Parry also spoke in support of the campaign. And he said, "I've been working on this issue for years. I advised that a gateway feature and better signage was introduced and gained a pelican crossing. Getting traffic to reduce its speed before it reaches the village is a real safety benefit." Councillor Mark Deville, Cabinet Member for Strategic Highways at Staffordshire County Council, said, "We take road safety very seriously and do listen to residents when they have concerns about speeding in their area. Requests for speed limit changes need to be investigated thoroughly to ensure the changes are appropriate. A reduction in speed limit can actually have negative consequences, like an increase in more risk maneuvers by drivers, such as overtaking or tailgating. Requests are considered very carefully with a local county councillor for the area, who will consider them along with other priorities. We will, of course, consider any petition and respond accordingly.